Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. Drew Duffy sitting in studio with us this afternoon. And we have a lot of stuff to get to today, mostly in the football realm. And I feel like that's where we have to start today. Your Detroit Football Lions are about to play the Tampa Bay Bucks this Sunday afternoon in the NFC divisional round.
Nice.
And have as good a chance as anybody to advance to the NFC title game, where it seems like it's inevitable they get steamrolled by San Fran. That being said, Lions are a touchdown favorite in this game at Ford Field. How confident are you feeling? What is your confidence level in this Lions team going into Sunday?
I can tell you that every time the ball leaves someone's hand, someone's foot, I'm going to just be screaming, "Cannonball!"
I'm very confident. I think Baker Mayfield's no joke. But I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be on him like a bad tuxedo. I think Jared Goff is going to be dialed in. I think we're going to see a good game.
So, I've seen a lot of people over the course of this week who are predicting basically a blowout. Like, I've seen so many, 32-10.
It will not be a blowout.
It won't be a blowout, because the blowouts, while they do happen in the playoffs occasionally, that is the exception. Very much the exception rather than the rule. Like, if you think you're going to go in there and just completely embarrass Tampa Bay like you did in the regular season, that's not going to happen. Now, that being said, there are a lot of reasons why you absolutely positively should win this game. For one, Tampa Bay doesn't have a running game at all. Like, they're averaging like 89 rushing yards a game this season. There's nothing really there. And you have one of the best run defenses in the NFL. There is no reason, quite frankly, that they're going to be able to generate any sort of running game here. Like, it's not going to happen. You have the best run defense, arguably, in the league. The Bucs average 3.4 yards per carry. That is very much not good. And their interior offensive line, very much not good. And that's going to help you in a lot of ways. Like, you're going to be able to just go all out on blitzing Baker Mayfield here. Like, it's very likely that that's going to be ultimately the case. I mean, you have a couple of pretty decent tackles, Luke Goedeke and Tristan Wirfs, but up the middle, they've given up 40 sacks on the year. That said, they are only seeing a pressure percentage of 17.6, which is in top 10 in the league. That said, if you can put pressure, really put pressure and get hits, get to Baker Mayfield, and I feel like there's a very reasonably good chance that you can do that, you're kind of set here. You should win this game. It's not going to be as close as a lot of people, I think it will be. But there are a couple things that you absolutely positively must do, and all of them are limiting the turnovers.
Yeah, if that's where you're really getting into some trouble.
If Jared Goff turns over the ball more than twice, then Tampa has a chance to win here. Now, Tampa is also really good at stopping the run. They have a top 10 run defense. Now, also keep in mind, the last time these two teams faced each other,
it's like 20-6 or something, wasn't it?
It was, but this rush offense was held under 4 yards a carry. But in that game, you didn't have Jonah Jackson in your O-line. You didn't have Jahmyr Gibbs starting, and David Montgomery left in the second quarter with a rib injury. For what that might be worth, you're coming back a lot healthier now. Now, that being said, the pass defense for the Bucs is kind of middle of the pack here. Like, they've looked pretty bad down the stretch of this season. The best performances that they had all came within, like, the first 4 weeks of the regular season. Within the first, first 4 weeks of the season. And since then, it's gotten a bit worse. They've regressed quite a bit. They're 22nd in passer rating allowed, 16th in success rate, 26th in yards per attempt. Todd Bowles plays a very aggressive style of defense. But you're, I think, well, you're very much in a position where you can overcome that. And without the blitz, they can't really do a whole lot. They blitz the third most of any team in the NFL. But they can't get away with doing that on every play. This Lions team can absolutely torch them. And Goff's got so many weapons at his disposal, especially now that we have a relatively healthy Sam Laporta. It helps quite a bit.
Yes.
So I do feel that you should be confident that the Lions are going to win on Sunday, but maybe we could back the things down a little bit here on, oh, it's going to be a blowout. Like, those games just don't really happen. Tampa's going to give you a little more of a challenge than you want to go in and think is going to be the case.
Now, one stat that's got me a little worried is in the sacks category. You got Tampa, ninth in the league with 47 sacks during the regular season. And, I mean, Detroit, thanks to Aiden Hutchinson and company, 41, but that only ranks for 23rd in the league. So that's got me nervous.
But here's the thing. Aaron Glenn, I feel like, has somewhat adjusted in recent weeks and recent games the way this team, the way that defense functions. And basically knowing that there is no run game to speak of for Tampa, you can basically sell all out on the passing game here. Like, you're going to be blitzing quite a bit, I would imagine.
Yep.
I feel like that's going to help you rather significantly here. Like, knowing that there's not a – you just don't have the opposing you just don't have a run game to throw teams off. Like, they know you're going to have the pass. Like, Baker's going to have to throw it, like, 50 times. And he's going to have to chuck it up that much because the completion percentage ain't great. He's not a guy who's going out there and completing 70% of his passes by any means. No. So that's going to – what's going to be key here is pressuring him, getting real pressure on him, getting hits, all of that good stuff. Like, that's very much going to be vital in beating this team. And with the way your run defense has played in relatively recent weeks, which has not admittedly been great. I mean, you gave up a close to 800 yards against Nick Mullins for the Minnesota Vikings in 2 weeks of play. Like, you've given up 300 yards the last 4 weeks of the regular season. So, like, they've been getting run up on quite a bit. Now, also, it's been a lot of teams like the Rams, the Cowboys, teams that have some pretty high-flying offenses anyway. So, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, you knew that was going to be the case against Los Angeles. I mean, that is a team that just airs out the ball a significant bit. But they have improved in generating pressure. In the last four games of the regular season, they generated 60 pressures, which was more than any other team. By a factor of about 7, they're blitzing a lot more. They're disrupting passing offenses a lot better than they were early on in the season, and that is going to help you a bit. Also, you've got James Houston back finally.
Okay,
so you're going to have another edge rusher out there who is pretty dang good. I like your odds a little bit better now, and knowing that Aaron Glenn has finally made some of these kind of long-awaited adjustments and that you have a full, healthy complement of guys up to and including Houston. So I do think that while Tampa does have the advantage here, but if you can get some disruption into Baker Mayfield and what he does, you stand a very good chance here. And as long as, like I said, you manage to keep Goff from getting too much under pressure, I think this game, I'm not going to say it's a mortal lock by any means.
No.
But I will absolutely say I like your odds quite a bit.
I believe the fans can do their part as well as far as disrupting Baker Mayfield.
That's true.
They were the fourth loudest at 133.6 decibels last weekend, which is the equivalent of a military jet takeoff. That's how loud we were.
That is absolutely right. Like, they... it was even said, I think Stafford even said after that game, like, the fans being as loud as they were was absolutely screwing things up for the Rams, not allowing them to get their dial in their plays and everything. Like, it does have an effect.
Oh, yeah.
And the best thing that could have happened to you was having home field advantage again going into this week.
Yep. Did you hear what they're doing for it?
No, I did not.
They're saying before, when you're pre-gaming, scream into your phone. Turn your volume all the way up. And then while you're screaming, play your phone at high
really?
Volume along with your own vocals. So you're essentially 1.25 times in your own voice.
Really?
Yes, sir. That was going around like all around in a,
wow.
in a message. And it went somehow they hacked into the people that purchased their online tickets, StubHub and Ticketmaster and all that. And anyone who purchased their tickets online got that message.
I like that quite a bit, and honestly, it is going to be fairly key in
disrupting Baker Mayfield. Yeah,
exactly. No, like we make the jokes about it, but that is absolutely something that does it does rattle opposing offenses. It very much is the kind of thing that can create that real home field advantage. We got a lot to do today. We're going to get into Jim Harbaugh next, and of course, obviously, it's Friday, so we've got to solicit advice. The picks coming up. Don't go anywhere. It is happy hour. We'll be back right after this. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I am not sure if you've seen this yet. The Michigan stuff with Jim Harbaugh and his potentially leaving to go take on the coaching gig with the LA Chargers, which seemed to be the Vegas favorite as to the team he ends up with.
Yep.
But did you see the supposed terms of the contract that have been thrown about where he's asking apparently for diplomatic immunity from U of M? You absolutely cannot make this stuff up. Apparently, as part of the contract negotiations with the University of Michigan, he's asking to be immune from any suspensions that might come about as a result of any sort of
investigations
suspension.
Or how would that work in the NFL? I mean, if this is NCAA suspensions, how would that translate to the NFL?
I don't think it would translate to the NFL, but I think he's once again trying to, it might be that he's just using the talk of going to the NFL as an excuse to get what he wants out of Michigan. So apparently Harbaugh has sought to have his contract grant him immunity from termination for any violation stemming from these cases that are already in play that are still possible to result in more sanctions and suspensions for him. It additionally spells out any penalty he might face should the NCAA rule him responsible in any future case that would include specific fine amounts for any Level 1 or Level 2 violation. He's also seeking to have any decision involving for cause termination, whether for NCAA violations or anything else, determined by a 3-member arbitration panel rather than the school's athletic director, a role currently held by Ward Manuel. Traditionally, for-cause termination of a coach would be determined by his direct supervisor. The AD would still be able to fire him for performance-related issues.
He's doing a lot of sandbagging for a guy who's innocent.
Right? I feel like people who are innocent don't traditionally have clauses put into their contracts that I'm going to be immune from punishment if I get in trouble for something.
Right. He's talking about, like, in the past, right?
Yeah, the stuff that's...
Okay. Yeah.
I assume the stuff that's still going on, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, if he hasn't done anything wrong, why is he sandbagging like this?
What does he have to hide? I feel like he's got a lot
what
to
else
hide,
is
realistically.
What else is going to come out that we don't know about yet?
I feel like there's absolutely something that's going to come out at some point.
Yeah, it's looking that way, isn't it?
I don't believe for a second that we've heard the last of this, and you know this is going to carry on to next year. Do you really see any way that he comes back to U of M next year?
I don't think so. He's losing a lot of good players. I mean, all the scandal aside, he's losing a lot of players. Corum's going to be gone. McCarthy's going to be gone. He's won a natty. That he has succeeded everything he could possibly do at this level. He could only just maintain at this point.
Yeah, you've reached the top of the mountain. Like, what's the point in sticking around?
Yep, climb the bigger mountain. That mountain
win
that is the
Super
NFL.
Bowl.
Yeah, win that Super Bowl.
And I think he could absolutely do it, especially if he takes the Chargers gig. I mean, you have a franchise QB there in Justin Herbert.
Yep.
You have a lot of pieces around you that could really, I think that team could contend in fairly short order, honestly.
And it's the glitz and glamour of L.A. You know, he likes that.
Oh, I don't
he,
think.
He likes the attention.
I mean, he does like the attention, but there's no glitz and glamour to this job. It may be L.A., but that team gets about 100 people in the stands on any given week.
This is
no one cares about NFL football in Los Angeles. I don't know why we gave them two teams.
Yeah, they
I
wanted,
really,
they wanted a team so badly.
And then no one shows up for the games.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
What do you know?
Who saw that working out?
I don't know.
I think pretty much everybody saw that, that this is exactly how that was going to pan out.
I
the
saw
jump.
That he had interviewed with two other teams. I think one of them was the Chargers, but there was another one, and I can't remember for the life of me who it was.
I know there's been talk about the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons. That's what it was.
Like, I don't see it.
No.
I don't see what the real interest is in that. And he has completed an interview with them. But then again, the Falcons have also interviewed Bill Belichick, so.
They're desperate.
Well, I don't know that they're desperate. I mean, he does have a track record of some significant amount of success, but yeah, it's just that can he, is he going to be able to reproduce that success in Atlanta and whoever they end up drafting be their QB, because obviously Desmond Ridder is not the guy.
No.
But no, the Chargers completed an interview with him, as did the Falcons, and I don't see there's any way that the Falcons don't, or that the Chargers don't end up hiring him. It seems to me like that's where it makes the most sense. Raiders apparently have interest too, but, well, let's be honest here. The Raiders are not a particularly desirable situation for anybody. And you have a lot of that roster that's very much in support of the interim guy that they have there now, Antonio Pierce.
Yep.
In fact, supposedly Max Crosby said, if you don't keep Antonio Pierce here as our head coach, I want out.
Wow.
Like, they saw what happened with the Gruden hiring and firing, and Rich Bisaccia taking over, and then being canned at the end of the season, even though he had a pretty good run with the team. They saw them immediately go after the glitz and glamour of Josh McDaniels, only to watch him get sacked when that ended in a blaze of glory, and Antonio Pierce coming in and trying to salvage things. Yeah, Crosby's like, you know what? I'm done with it. If you don't keep this guy, if you seriously have to go star chasing again, then we're done here. Get me out of town. And I don't think anyone in their right mind can blame him.
No. No, not at all.
Like, he absolutely has every right to feel that way, I think. And with that being said, I don't think the Raiders are ultimately going to get Harbaugh at any rate. Like, it's more, I feel like the Chargers are the favorite. But I just don't see him going and staying at Michigan unless they really do give him this clause that, you know, I can't get in trouble for any stupid thing that I might do. And I don't think, I like to think they're not stupid enough to give that to him. I also found it interesting that they want this, you know, tribunal of, you know, set up by the university president to judge whether Harbaugh is actually guilty of the things that he did. I kind of wonder, is there some sort of tension there between him and Ward Manuel over the things that have gone down?
Oh, as many times as he snubbed his nose at the NCAA? Of course there is.
Because it does seem like Santa Ono is firmly in Harbaugh's corner, Santa Ono being the president of the school who would presumably be setting up that three-person panel that would decide if Captain Khaki Pants did anything wrong.
Right.
It feels like very much the situation with, Tressel at Ohio State, where the president of that school is like, I just hope he doesn't fire me. Like, you feel like there's that same kind of relation here, like Harbaugh calls the shots, not Santa Ono.
Yeah.
And if Ward Manuel doesn't get on the board with it, then we're going to have a problem. Like that you're now trying to circumvent the AD entirely. Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder what the relationship's like there. If perhaps maybe Ward Manuel's not getting a little bit sick and tired of this ongoing issue where he's got to go out there and defend Harbaugh against every stupid thing that man does, like every other week that there's something else. Like, maybe he's the one who's getting kind of tired and restless with all of this. Oh, well, great. My football coach is once again going and trying to get out of here this offseason, and it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight with him yet again. And honestly, I don't blame the guy for feeling that way. Don't blame him at all if that is the case. But that's, I mean, really speculation on my part. It just seems kind of odd that we're now moving this out of the purview of the AD and to the president, who has very much been a full-throated cheerleader of everything that Harbaugh does. I mean, and hard to blame him for some extent, as it did get him a natty. But, I mean, it's not like you couldn't absolutely push him out the door and have someone on that roster that could absolutely do what Harbaugh has done and, well, did it for about half the season this year. But I guess that's trying to apply logic where logic doesn't apply. And let's be honest, when it comes to Michigan football, logic just doesn't seem to apply pretty much anywhere. It is happy hour at South State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Drew Duffney. And it is time for my favorite bit of the week, Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on it. We intercept. And, you know, sometimes we ruin lives, but that's just the cost of doing radio, baby. Let's get into this thing. Dear somebody who cares, my wife is an accomplished author who also holds down a full-time job in an unrelated field, mostly for the benefits. When we had our first child last year, we agreed she would pause her writing career. Something had to go with a new baby at home. Except it turns out she didn't pause it. She got a great idea for a new novel, wrote it secretly during her lunch break at work, and sold it for $100,000. I feel so many things right now. It's hard to be mad at someone when they casually tell you your son's college education is now paid for, and her lunch hour is technically hers to do with as she wishes, but she went against our deal. She could have been home an hour early every night this year if she hadn't done this project. And when I think back at all the times she's been tired or grumpy in the past year, I now blame the book, even though it could have just been caring for our newborn. How do I trust her to keep her word? How should I feel right now?
Oh, my God. This guy needs to just shut up. I mean, she took care of a newborn. She worked a job. She wrote a novel that got picked up for $100,000. What is your issue? Because you, because she did it without you knowing about it? Oh, poor baby.
It's her lunch break.
It's her lunch break. She can do whatever she wants.
Exactly.
Except for another guy, but you know.
Right. But other than that, she can do whatever she wants with her hour lunch break. Oh, she could have been home earlier. That is not necessarily how this works.
And trust me, like, if she was grumpy, it probably wasn't what she was, because she was tired. It was probably because of your winebag personality and your man bun wearing wussy. Persona.
No, okay.
I was trying to keep it clean.
No,
sorry.
True talk. I actually pictured this guy with a man bun.
Yeah.
I kind of do too.
I mean, what? I mean, any guy would trade places with this man in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
He's got a woman that carries a full-time job, which, I mean, in my dating and married life.
That has not always been
that's
a
not been
thing.
That has been a luxury. And then, you know, she cares for a kid. Writes a book, and you're what? Because, you know, what does he do? We play D&D? I mean, is he working on his...
is he spending every second that he's at home with the kid?
I mean, his question was, how should I feel right now? Embarrassed.
You should be proud. You should say, good job. You did a great job. $100,000 for a book.
Yeah.
For a book, and you brought home the bacon, you fried it up in the pan, and never let me forget I was a man. That is...
Yeah, no tuition. No tuition.
Well, I mean, if the kid's... Who knows how much college is going to be in 20 years?
Yeah, but so, I mean, if the kid's a newborn and that's $100,000 set aside for it better be like $10 million.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's real.
This guy...
the audacity
how should he
of this
feel
man.
About it? He should be happy.
Should be happy for your wife, dude.
Well, she kept it from him on purpose, and my question is, why? Why would she keep that from him?
Because she knew he'd react like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This wasn't Chevy Chase, was it?
Chevy Chase.
What was the name of that movie? Obviously, you laughed because you knew what I've been talking about.
I do, and I am drawing a blank on the name of that movie right
All
now.
All I know is Chevy Chase is the vacation movies.
Now, he was an author, and they decided to buy a house out in the country. And he had all these
Funny
distractions.
Farm.
Yeah.
Funny Farm. Okay.
Yeah, and like the wife secretly wrote a book and sent it to his publisher, and it became a hit.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
He was also writing a book, and he just completely whiffed on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, me and my man bun.
I sense a little bit of jealousy here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his man bun's held together by one chopstick from his favorite vegan Chinese restaurant.
He's painting such a mental picture. He needs to write a book. This guy just
He
needs-
really does. In fact, you know who could probably help him with that book? The lady in this. So, like, dude, if you're listening to the show, just send us your wife's contact info to Drew Duffney, care of Satellite Broadcasting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just.
She will never be grumpy. I look at a grumpy woman, and I get that I'm the single guy in the room, so this can't be 100% true, but it's like 80% true. I look at a grumpy woman as a challenge. Okay, we all went out and celebrated last night as a group.
Yeah.
And it was open mic night. And the guy who was clearly hosting it is a musician of some sort, like a jack of all trades, because he had all the instruments and he even invited karaoke. And this cougar's mother was up there trying to get everybody at the table to dance.
Okay.
And they looked at me because, I mean, I already invited both desk attendants at the hotel to the bar afterwards.
Of
I mean, they know
did.
Who I am.
Yeah.
And so
I'm shocked.
I said, I'll be your cougar bait. And the music was loud. And she said, what? And I said, I can't wait. And I got up and I danced with her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't bother me. It was like dancing with that lady that we used to work with. Bless her heart.
Oh, yeah.
Drew likes a challenge. Eddie. What can I say?
I do. So, yeah, if you got a grumpy woman, that's just an opportunity for you to be a better person and make her happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bed of flower, rose petals, some... Wine
and Diner. She just wrote you a book that paid for your kids' college.
I would love to be a fly on the wall when they had that. She brought in that conversation. She's sitting there, and he's like doing yoga or something like that, he's playing Call of Duty.
To Yanni,
can you
he's
pause?
Got Yanni in the background.
Can you pause the game? It's an online game, honey. I can't pause that. Okay, well, I just want to let you know, I wrote a book during my break. And they picked it up for $100,000.
And your first thought is, how can I trust this
oh
woman
my
again?
God. You told me you were going to take the time off. I just can't right
I
now.
Just can't.
I just can't.
I can't even.
I can't
if
even.
If you'd have told me you got $100,000 from an OnlyFans, I'd have been like, dude, how proud am I?
Yeah, right.
But that you actually worked and earned it? Nobody does that anymore. What are you, dating a boomer?
Yeah. Right. I want to know what book she wrote. I'm going to buy it. I mean, what? This guy's a loser.
Absolutely.
My advice is to her is to get rid of him.
Yeah, like put him in line. Like put him in check here because.
You better make sure you have dinner on the table when mama come home.
Yeah, that's my advice to this guy. Have dinner waiting for this woman when she gets home because clearly she is the one with the ambition in the family.
Exactly. We don't ever hear what this jackanape does.
Yeah, it doesn't say what he does.
Excuse me, I have a metal detector and I go up and down the beach. Thank you.
It's probably exactly something like that.
I have social anxiety, so I do peace work.
Every time Drew has opened his mouth, it's come out with gold.
I just left Grand Rapids.
Okay.
I was surrounded by these people all day.
Now, I thought Grand Rapids was more like the right wingers. The whole
no, that's like the northern, like,
that's the suburbs.
Countryside of it.
Okay.
In Grand Rapids itself, yeah, it's fairly the other way.
Hmm. Yeah, like there were people wearing shorts and Birkenstocks. I'm not talking I'm talking actual Birkenstocks in a snowstorm. And I'm like, I know you're not going to the gym.
So let's get into another one of these, shall we?
Yeah, we've pretty much beaten this one.
Dear, oh God, not them.
Oh boy.
I am a former drinker, almost 20 years sober, and weekly family gatherings can be challenging for me. This is not because I want to drink, but rather because my family members often drink too much, then drive home. Last week, after seeing my 87-year-old mother consume 3 to 4 glasses of wine, I asked her if she'd like me to drive her home. Even when sober, she's a bit unsteady, so I thought it would be wise. My sister, however, thought I was being ridiculous and judgmental. I pointed out that it was prudent given the law and consequences. My mother said it was her choice and she felt fine. I said, it's more about whether you're over the limit. You've had 3 glasses in 2 hours, so it's possible. But I was gang-shamed into letting it drop. A few weeks later, my sister and her boyfriend invited my 23-year-old son to go wine tasting with them. I offered to be their DD. My sister was immediately suspicious and we got into it again. I said to go to wine tasting, drinking multiple glasses with little to no food for several hours, and then to drive would be irresponsible. I was outnumbered again. Even my own son felt I crossed the line by insinuating my sister and her boyfriend were possibly being irresponsible. The most annoying part of this is that my sister was a non-drinker just a year ago before she started dating this guy, whose brother died of cirrhosis, as did our father. At this point, I've been asked by my mother, sister, and even my son not to mention drinking and driving at family gatherings because it's too contentious. My preference at this point is to stop attending family gatherings. What say you on this one, Adam?
Oh, well, it sounds like, on one hand, the family probably is not really liking the facts that the writer is bringing in to the dangers of drink and driving. For the very first instance that she talks about is the 87-year-old woman hepped up on a couple glasses of wine. That is right. I mean, they should have drove her because, I mean, if she can't drive...
Why is she driving at 87?
Exactly. Okay, I was kind of tiptoeing around it. I didn't want to become accused of ageism.
I'm fine with being accused of ageism. Like, you're 87 years old. It's questionable that you should even be driving a car, much less drinking and driving a car.
Yeah. But I am also thinking, like, okay, so on one hand, the family is probably being a little bit loosey-goosey when it comes to drinking and driving, especially with the wine tasting and stuff like that. And here she is. I'm assuming the writer is a woman.
I don't know. Maybe
it never says. We're just going to go and assume it's a woman. The writer says, "I'll be your DD." And for the family, just kind of like buck on her and say, "You know what? It's not that big a deal." I mean, if anybody's going to say they're going to be a DD, take them up on their offer.
Absolutely.
Okay, I've been holding out on this because I have a lot to say about this, and it's not going to be a popular opinion.
Okay, let me just finish my thought, and then you got it. But on the other hand, it sounds like the writer has loaded up both barrels with all this drunk driving facts. Now that all of a sudden she is sober and she's seen the light and everything else, she's probably a real buzzkill.
Is there anything more annoying than sober people?
No, but I mean, it's when they're, you know, you're 72% more likely to be run over in your own living room by a drunk driver, you know, something like that. But, you know, it's those people. So, I mean, if everybody's like, somebody cracks open a beer, as you realize you won't be able to drive for 1 hour after you consume that, you know, that kind
Wanna
of person.
Bet?
I drive better. No, I can drive while drinking it. So, I mean,
happy hour does not condone drinking while driving.
No, we do not. I have a DUI under my belt. It is not fun. It is not smart.
I do not, but I'd also like to keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, on one, there's really no winner in this because I think the family is probably ignoring the whole drunk driving facts. And the other person, the writer, is coming in guns blazing with drunk driving facts. Can you all just chill out? Drew.
Okay, so here's my thing. I have a mother who is 77. I'm throwing her name out there. Still a sound mind, questionable driver at best. So in reference to your question, and when I say questionable driver, I mean she's very careful and very cautious. But when she parks, she just doesn't care anymore. Like, I feel like she's been on Bad Parkers of the Midwest for many a pitchers. Because, like, she crosses over the line and, you know, parks crooked and whatever else.
Yeah.
That's a difficult conversation to have. Both of my brothers have confronted me, both older than me, and said, hey, when are we going to talk about Ma not being able to drive anymore? And I'm like, well, both of you live farther away than I do, so what kind of contribution are we going to have with this conversation?
Yes.
Who's going to take her to get groceries?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. And I mean, that.
So it's a difficult conversation to have. But my personal opinion, if you're going to drink and drive, you're going to do it at 87. If I live to 87, I'm doing heroin, okay? Because it's not like...
Happy Hour does not condone the use of heroin or other illegal drugs.
Yeah, if anything bad happens and I overdose and die, it's not like somebody's going to be standing over my grave going, I bet he would have... What? I have already done it.
He lost all bowel control before he did the heroin.
Yeah, heroin's not even a normal drug.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, you smoke weed, you do coke, you're up for a few days, you're pretty happy, you're hungry. You do heroin, that makes you forget about paying your rent and not caring. Okay? So if I'm 87 years old, that's the drug I want to do. I'm not going to do it before then, but... who cares when you're 87? Light it up.
I have said that for years.
I mean,
on this show,
all you're going to get is your inheritance sooner.
Yeah. You know? Wow. I mean, seriously.
Cut to the chase. Why don't
I mean, at 80 years old, I think heroin should be legal for.
This is 7 years past 80.
I thought it was coke should be legal at 70. Heroin at 80, and then 100, you get to kill somebody or something.
I said 70 years old, cocaine. 80 years old for heroin. At 100 years old, you are able to legally kill somebody. Not a killing spree. We don't want Papa going off.
Just once.
Just one person a year. I mean.
Every year after 100?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't play Legos anymore. Legos is only 3 to 99.
Yeah, right. You know, 100-year-old's like, Lego. But, I mean, think about it. If somebody at 100 years old can kill anybody they want, I mean.
In all reality, how are they going to do it? Yeah. How good do you think their eyesight's going to be with a gun?
It's going to have to be close up. Yeah. I'm just going to say nobody's going to miss Mama's birthday.
No, absolutely right.
So, oh my God, did we send Mama a Christmas card? For God's sakes, woman.
So all that being said,
yes, okay, yeah.
The driving at 87 while drunk, yeah,
that's bad.
That is bad. That's bad. No, like absolutely. And to Adam's point, yeah, if someone's offering to drive my drunk self around, I am absolutely every single time going to take them up on their offer to do it. Because I don't know about you, I don't feel like I look particularly good in orange.
No.
Like, I'm not, I would rather not take that chance. I mean, this guy may, it sounds like he's one of those sober guys. It's like, I'm better than you because I don't drink.
Yeah.
But at the same point in time, if he's offering me to ride, I'm still probably not going to say no. Yeah, fine. You can drive me. You can cart me around while I get hammered. I'm fine with this. I'm not going to feel bad.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're driving you from bar to bar, is this person going to be like, you know, and talking to me in the backseat, you know, the average age of the drunk driver killed is 27 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Good thing that there's not one of those driving. Now, eyes on the road, bud.
Yeah, put your chauffeur's hat on.
Yeah, Taco Bell, pull in.
Yeah.
When I get drunk, there's a 100% chance you're running me through T-Bell tonight. Okay, yeah. Cool. As long as we're on the same page with that.
Exactly. So yeah. It sounds like everybody just needs to dial it down a notch.
Yeah, kind of all the way around. Maybe don't be quite so snippy with everybody about your, I'm better than you because I don't drink, and maybe everyone else would be a little more willing to accept the free DD. On that note, we're going to hit a break. John McMurray's got your weather forecast next here on The Voice of the Thumb, WMIC 660 and 95.3 FM. Stick around. It is that time of the week again. It's Friday. Well, getting close to the end of the show, and it is time for the picks.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do this thing, shall we? Got Drew in studio with us, who finished dead last, in a tie for dead last with Rachel, my wife, who was literally picking teams based on, well, I'd rather be in Miami than Cleveland right now. Probably the weather would be better. Like, that's the scientific method of her picking games. You actually, like, try and know stuff, and you did about as well as she did. How does that make you feel?
I was with, you know, let's not talk about my feelings. I was driving in a snowstorm. I wasn't even driving. I was sliding. Like, my car was sliding sideways while we were on the air, so much so that you had to pause things. And you expect me to have a mental capacity to be able to make
excuses, Duffney.
Yes, I
As
know.
His car is upside down, he's like, yeah, I don't think the quarterback's completion rating is really that up to snuff.
I'm sorry,
some of us have standards on this show, Adam.
I thought it was like golf. The lower the score, the better.
Well, no, not so much. So we'll go ahead and start with the AFC divisional matchup Saturday afternoon. The Houston Texans, how did they make it here? They're taking on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm still kind of in shock by this whole thing.
I mean, let's applaud the Houston Texans for what
getting
this
far.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if they lose to the Ravens, their season is a success, right? Is it not?
You would think so. And for what it's worth, these two teams met in the opening week, and Houston lost 25-9. In the first game of the season, for what it's worth, but
yeah,
still.
But Texans have been rolling, though.
They have been. Like, that team, I keep saying D'Amico Ryan's for coach of the year. Like, he's got this team just on another level. So, they won three of their last four in the regular season. Then just stomped Cleveland, like, something embarrassing. Yeah. Like, they hung 45 on a defense that I don't think has given up 45 points all season.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and go first if that pleases the court. But
Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Give me Ravens. Ravens are favored by 9.5 on my screen. You can keep the points. I don't think the Ravens are going to be able to cover that spread.
Drew Duffney.
I went against the Texans in my first guess. I'm going into deliberation here because I want justification in the event I do poorly next week.
You're bringing a lot of big words.
It's going to be Houston.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because I was going to pick Baltimore, but I'm like, nope. Texans are going to do it.
You're out of your mind.
Hey, you know what? I hope you're right. Because if the Lions make it to the Super Bowl, they're probably facing the Texans. I mean the Ravens, and I don't want that.
No, nobody wants that. No Lions fan wants that anyway.
No.
I'd rather face either team in the Chiefs-Bills matchup than face the Ravens. So I'm pulling for the Texans, but I also acknowledge that even though C.J. Stroud is now officially the youngest quarterback ever to win a playoff football game, you don't have answers for Baltimore. Give me Baltimore and the points. Up next, the matchup that I think we're all probably pulling. I think we all know what way we're rooting in this one, but this isn't about necessarily rooting interest. It's about who knows who's going to pick the right winner here. The Green Bay Packers, the San Francisco 49ers in San Fran. San Fran is favored by 9.5.
Oh, boy.
The winner of this could potentially face your Detroit Football Lions in the NFC title game next week.
They will face the Lions. Gotta stay positive, man.
Drew Duffney on the pick.
I am still saying it's going to be Green Bay. I think they're used to that cold, brisk air up there at Lambeau. And when they get into a warmer climate and they can actually breathe and move, I think they're going to be a powerhouse.
Wait a minute. My nose isn't freezing together? This is awesome.
Yeah.
I can actually play football.
The grass isn't ice covered?
Oh, my. Wow. I can actually see the lines. There's no snow over everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Adam Harahawk on the pick.
You know what? Brock Purdy, he has been fantastic this entire season. And I can't really feel myself rooting for the Pack at all. So I guess, give me the Niners.
I want more than anything, and I can't believe I'm saying this on the air right now.
Then don't say it on the air. Just hint. Just give us, just hint around to it.
I'm just saying I wouldn't be mad if San Francisco lost this game.
So what you're saying is you're hoping people who wear things of cheese on their head are happy.
I didn't say I wish happiness on those people. Let's not get it twisted here now. I'm not wishing them happiness in any way, shape, or form.
So you're, for once on air, and let's notate this. Go ahead and save this clip. You're agreeing with me.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have agreed with you on a couple picks in the past, Drew. It doesn't happen often because I win this thing fairly frequently, but it does occasionally happen.
So he's saying he wins with my help. Yeah.
So are you are picking
I can't believe I'm doing this. I am possibly out of my mind here, but give me the Packers. That's my upset special of the week.
Okay, well,
I have nothing to base this off of, but
okay.
You know what? I would much rather face Green Bay in the NFC title game than San Fran.
Oh, I mean,
because Green Bay, if it's Green Bay, it'll be a Ford Field again.
Yeah, well, I mean, just we're picking these to see who's going to win. I mean, who do I want to win? it's going to be those cheeseheads.
Oh, I know it's going to be.
Absolutely.
I know it's going to be San Fran, but at the same point in time, I feel like I it worked for me. Did it work for me last week in any of those? Well, it must have because I beat all of you.
You didn't.
We both picked Houston to win, and it worked. I did pick Dallas last week, and they lost. So you know what? Give me San Fran and the points. There we go. Give me San Fran and the points, and that will assure a Green Bay victory.
Yes. There we go.
You're welcome, Drew. Up next, the other AFC divisional matchup features the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. Buffalo favored by 2 in Buffalo. Mahomes, Josh Allen, the QB matchup to end them all. I don't think either of these teams end up being in the Super Bowl, but should be an entertaining game nonetheless. We'll start with Adam Harahawk on pick.
They're both 11-6. I mean, this is a great matchup. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to have to say, and this alludes back to the whole weather thing, they are going to be in Buffalo. Kansas City, I don't know if they're used to that kind of cold. I'm going to have to go Bills. Give me Buffalo.
Well, you know what I refer to Kansas City as, don't you?
What?
Kentucky Chickens.
Kentucky Chickens.
And what does the city of Buffalo do to chickens?
They make wings out of them.
That's exactly right. Give me Buffalo.
You're both going Buffalo on this?
Yep.
Yep.
KC is not used to playing in cold weather. KC can't possibly thrive in cold weather. Did you watch the game last week? Well, of course you didn't because it was on Peacock, so nobody watched it.
The thing is, I had Peacock.
They were playing in like 30 below weather. Like, it was bad out there. Like, it was...
Yeah.
It was so bad, like, people were like pawning off their tickets as cheap as they could just because no one wanted to sit in there. And what happened in that game? Someone reminded me. Oh, right.
Kansas,
KC won.
KC won.
Yeah. But Taylor, you know who Smith else was there? Yeah. I was going to say, do you know who else was there that you absolutely said there's no way she's going to be there? All dressed in red in a nice little furry KC beanie.
And she'll probably be there on Sunday, your point?
Nah, she got frostbite last weekend.
Besides,
she's going to let it go.
Shake it off.
Besides, there is a long list of walking wounded for KC. Their starting wide receiver, Gabe Davis, he's out with a knee injury. A starting corner, Christian Benford, he's out. Backup safety, Taylor Rapp is out. Starting linebacker, Terrell Bernard is unlikely to play. Taron Johnson isn't likely going to play because he's still got to clear the NFL concussion protocol. You're missing... another starting cornerback. Like, you're going to be going in rather shorthanded into this matchup. That Bills defense is banged up, and Travis Kelce is going to torch them all day long. Give me Kansas City. And then finally, the game we all really care about.
Here we go.
Your Detroit Football Lions at home in Ford Field taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Forward down the field.
It's such a bad song. Can we retire that already?
We really need to.
The Lions are favored by 6.5 in this matchup. Not hard to see why. The Bucs have no run game. The Lions are better at stopping the run than anybody in the NFL. They've also got a top 5 run game of their own, and that passing offense has been firing on all cylinders of late. We start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Detroit Lions, 42. Buccaneers, 31.
Drew Duffany.
I think Badgley and Golf are going to be firing cannonballs at the Buccaneers and the ship they rode in on. Give me the Lions 28, Buccaneers 17.
It's going to be a closer game, I think, than that. I do expect that. I mean, Baker Mayfield is going to have to sling the ball, and for everything we've said about how I think you can put him under pressure and get him some hits, he does still have the second best wide receiver combo in the league in Godwin and Evans. Like, they're the only ones better, the only tandem I've seen better than that in this league right now. Well, you can make an argument for Waddle and Tyreek Hill, but Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, and someone remind me what they did last week. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Lions won. So, give me Lions 24, Bucks 20. Any final words here before we close this thing out?
Aiden Hutchinson with 2 sacks.
Okay. Drew?
He should get that looked at.
It's
back after this.
It's happy hour. Those are your picks. We'll come back and close this thing out next. Stick around. Happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and that's Drew Duffy. And we have just so many things that we have not yet gotten to today. Like, we've just got the chamber fully loaded with content and not nearly enough time to do it all. Hint, hint. So I'm just saying, more days a week. Like, we've got more content than we know what to do with. So let's try and cram it all in the last segment of the show, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Everything we missed in sports this week. Maestro, the music, please. So you had something interesting over there, Drew, from the NFC wildcard game this weekend that didn't involve the Lions?
Absolutely not. It was the Cowboys whining and crying again.
Wow.
But instead
that never
of,
happens.
Yeah. Instead of the owner or the players, it was a cheerleader. So apparently, a cheerleader who was in her last season told media, "I have never experienced such disrespect from the other team or the players or the cheerleaders in my 5 years as an NFL cheerleader."
A Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. They relatively famous.
Yeah. I mean, even Dolly Parton dressed up as one here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He said, "We would literally be minding our own business, and the Packers just scored a touchdown, and they would come over to us and start yelling at us." She's in her last season as a cheerleader, pointed out that the players caught taunting one can face monetary fines, but that there is no fine for taunting cheerleaders. For unsportsmanlike conduct, the NFL can fine a player for $13,659. Taunting can cost a player $10,927. I feel like that's unsportsmanlike conduct, and it's so crazy that they can't do that to the Cowboys players or any other players, but they can do it to the cheerleaders, and nothing's going to happen.
They should be able to do it to anybody, quite frankly.
I mean, that is wrong. I mean, if they're not able to do it, the players, the coaching staff, the ownership, the refs, they shouldn't be able to do it to the like the ball boy or, you know, the person who runs the chains or something like that. You wouldn't expect them to be taunting them, but here they are taunting the cheerleaders, and there's nothing said about it. I think this one cheerleader is she's got a point.
Counterpoint: taunt everybody. I'm fine with it. Let them taunt to their heart's content. I find it, if anything, entertaining as all get out.
I do too. I think she just got sour grapes. It's her last season with the team, and now the team's out. She probably got some sort of incentive.
How dare they not treat the Dallas Cowboys and their cheerleaders with the reverence and respect that they deserve? Oh,
and there might be some of that, because
a lot of that.
I mean, there, I can't remember how many Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders they have on a roster. That's like 20 or something like that.
Yeah, quite a few.
There's only one that's bitching about it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
she's just salty because she didn't make the cut next year.
Because she's in her fifth year. She's like, "You're 23, you're gone."
Yeah.
You know, that wouldn't even surprise me. So apparently, Kelly Stafford's all up in arms again. Raise your hand if you're surprised by this.
I'm not surprised at all.
Claimed that her kids were getting booed at Sunday's game, and it turns out that's about as much BS as you expected it to be, as she told somebody during the game, like, "I know they weren't booing my kids, they're booing me." Like, and yet she went to social media like, "Oh my God, they were booing my children. How could they do such a thing?"
Nobody even knows what your kids look like.
No one, absolutely
nobody cares.
I don't care how drunk that you, if you don't care if you're 18 beers deep, no one's booing children. I mean, I might boo children on a matter of principle, but no one is seriously going and booing your kids. And you know well that they weren't. This is just another attempt for her to try and use her you know, leverage some semblance of clout of some sort.
Well, what they were photographed, the kids were photographed wearing jackets said Detroit born, LA raised. So maybe that had some sort of...
I don't think it had anything to do with the kids at all, though. They were booing Kelly.
Well, the kids were wearing the jackets, and they, if some drunkard who's been, you know, tailgating since 9 in the morning, Detroit-born LA, yeah, whatever, LA sucks.
My guess would be the kids didn't buy the coats. It's still Kelly's fault.
Quite frankly, it all comes back to Kelly. No one's... Like, even Detroit... Like, we're not Philly. No one here is booing your kids. Yeah, that's just not a thing.
Nobody hits your kids with batteries. Yeah, it's not Philly.
Yeah, like, what exactly do you think's really going on here? I'm sorry. That whole thing was just a little, okay, maybe a lot a bit excessive for me. The hand-wringing about all that.
Yes.
Yeah, Kelly, be more like Taylor.
Yeah.
Just be supportive. Yeah. Shut up.
Be up in the box and just shake it off.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. Couple head coaching updates in the NFL, too. Apparently, the Raiders did the thing that I've been saying they should do all offseason. They have confirmed Antonio Pierce is getting the interim tag off of his head coaching title. And Bill Belichick apparently interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons today.
You called it.
I did call it. I don't know if he'll necessarily... It seems like probably the landing spot that is most likely to happen just because... We know that his ego and Jerry Jones's cannot coexist in the same room. No, I'm the GM. No, I'm GM. Like, there's no way. Like, it's not... That will never be allowed to happen, even though it probably should.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think he's going to be able to turn the Falcons around either.
No, Falcons have got a lot of work to do, and I don't think Belichick really has that time in him. What, he's like, what?
72?
72, yeah. He's getting up there.
Yeah, how many years does he realistically have left as an NFL coach? I mean, probably a few, no doubt, because I'm just convinced at this point that he'll turn to dust the second he stops coaching in the NFL. Like that's what's going to happen. He'll be 72 when the next season starts.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way that you can't expect a long-term rebuild gig for him.
No.
So as of right now, looking at the draft board, the Falcons are drafting 8th. They don't have a franchise quarterback right now, obviously. But the rumor I keep hearing is that they might be in the mix to acquire Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears. The Bears have the number 1 pick in this year's draft, and it's very much expected because they're going to be retaining Matt Eberflus as their head coach, it sounds like. But they are looking at Caleb Williams with that number 1 overall pick, which means Fields' days are numbered in Chi-Town. And there's going to be a few teams that are interested in his services in some capacity. I don't know, though, if Justin Fields necessarily is going to fit in Bill Belichick's system offensively. Like, he's very much that mobile QB style. And Brady is, you know, Belichick has always had, you know, pocket passer types. Like, that's the kind of offense that he runs. It's not that kind of system. So I don't know necessarily if that's a fit. Like, Fields would probably be a good fit for Atlanta. I don't know if Belichick and Fields together makes a great deal of sense. I'm kind of skeptical at best about that, but it certainly seems like he's their guy. Like, they want him. Like, that's been the only team that Belichick's really been linked to here. And it seems like the Falcons have been the team that keeps coming up as the most likely landing spot. Let's get into a little bit of hockey, shall we? Wings,
yes.
Taking on the Carolina Bunch of Jerks tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Red Wings been looking good. What was it? 6-0-1 in the month of January. In the entire year of 2024 so far. They're taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, who, you know, still above the Red Wings, but they're no slouches. They are currently 3rd in the Metropolitan. In the last 10, they are 7-2-1, just like the Red Wings, rocking a 24-14 season so far. So if the Red Wings, this is a good measuring stick for the Red Wings. We've seen them, like, just really lay down and show their bellies to some lesser-known teams, and then just really turn it up a notch to teams that are above them. Let's see what happens when they're pretty much at a neck-and-neck with their opponent.
Right. Like, it's very, they're a very similar spot, obviously. They're, you know, third in their division, 53 points, 7-2-1 their last 10, and they've been on alternating hot and cold streaks.
Yes.
Quite a bit. They haven't played since Monday, which, I'm sorry, someone in the NHL's scheduling department really needs to figure this out. The Carolina hasn't played since Monday, and it's Friday now.
Right.
I truly don't understand what they're doing over there sometimes. I really, really don't.
Your Red Wings are fourth in the league for goals for with 156. Carolina, seventh with 147 goals. So they're looking good on there.
Yeah, the defense, though, has been questionable at best.
Yeah, quite a bit.
I keep saying go out and get Chris Tanev from the Flames. Do something. Make some sort of move.
When is the trade deadline?
Trade deadline is
in March.
Yeah, March 2nd, I believe.
Okay. So Stevie Yzerman, he's probably working the phones. He's going to make something happen because March 8th. This is not a sell kind of year. The team possibly could be buyers.
They're building. It's a building squad right now. Yep. Like, they're on their way up. They have their core. Now it's a question of getting the pieces that really could potentially to build things up. And the Flames are very much a team that is listed as a seller at this deadline.
Yes.
Tanev, I would be fine with. Noah Hanifin, go out and get him.
Yep.
I'd be good with that because it looks like contract talks have very much stalled with him. So it would be rather interesting to see if the Wings are actually going to go out and make a real move for a defenseman that they could shore up long term. I would love to see it. I know I'm trying to be patient with this team. I really am. As far as the acquisitions and the progress of the rebuild, but it's hard, man.
Well, the team is currently in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah,
they have not lost in regulation in the year 2024. So are they number one in the Atlantic Division? No, they are not. But
I wasn't asking them to be that right now.
Yeah, so I am happy with what I've seen from this team, and I expect some good things. I know we're already done with the football picks. For my picks, Red Wings 6, Carolina 4.
All right, lock that in. On that note, we have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, Dolly Parton, Catholics, people with man buns, vegans, Chevy Chase, Grand Rapids, Kelly Stafford, and Taco Bell. We're sorry!
Sorry about that.
We're kind of sorry anyway. On that note, we got to get out of here, but not without doing a full hour of local original music?
Yeah. I'm dipping into the vaults for this one. The entire show is going to be nothing but bands from the 90s. Verve Pipe, Solid Frog, Walk on Water. Sean, you will enjoy this one.
I'm looking forward to it. You had me at Solid Frog, sir. All being well, talk to you Monday at 3. Go Lions! See ya!